Do you hate social media? Do you live in a world where you're like, if Instagram and Facebook didn't exist, I'd be a pretty happy camper? Well, me too. I am the world's biggest not social media fan. However, we are also running online businesses, so sometimes we just got to use it. And today I'm going to be talking about what do you do if you hate social media and you want to avoid it, but you still want to sell. Now, you can still sell. I will 100% get behind that. There are ways you can incorporate social media, even as a social media hater. But if you still want to keep selling, I am here to tell you that it is 100% possible. In 2023, I went through burnout, and for 4 months, I did literally nothing in my business. No social media posts, no emails, no YouTube videos, no blogs, nothing. I pretty much went completely radio silent, yet my business still kept going. I still kept people getting people sign up to my offers. I still had people purchasing. I still had people contacting me and asking for consulting. And all of that was going on because of the things that I had created before I took that break away from everything. And the things that kept working for me were the long form content pieces. YouTube, it did not grow, sure, in the time that I was producing nothing, but it kept constant. People kept watching my videos, going to my website, signing up for my offers. But do you know what died completely as soon as I went away from it? Social media channels. All of those things were only working while I was actively posting. And it has completely made me stay away from them for the most part since, because you can put so much work into it and, you know, you feel like you're grinding and hustling to get attention. And if it's not actually leading anywhere, and if you stop doing it, it stops working. Well, that is not the key for a sustainable business, in my view. I am choosing to focus on content that is going to serve me for the long term, the things that are going to keep working when I'm not. If, you know, you have something happen in your life that means that you can't show up as much to your business for a week or a month, you do not want to feel like you are chained to it and you can't step away. That is a horrible way to feel. And it's the place that a lot of people find themselves in. Sure, you'll make sales if you're hustling and you're posting multiple stories a day on socials and you're in the DMs and, you know, you're doing all the things. That absolutely can bring you income. Like the strategy of, you know, being on Facebook and in all the Facebook groups and commenting on people's posts, it can absolutely work. But when you stop working, the strategies stop working too. And if you want to build something that's sustainable and scalable, you've got to get beyond that. I'm certainly not going to discount it though, because when you are starting out and you are trying to get traction, it can be a fantastic way to get attention. Social media platforms can work to put you in front of audiences that you may not have already had. But it is not the easy game that it was. I've been around social media for a while, as I've been selling online since 1999. I was there for the beginning of Facebook. I was there for those glorious days when you could put a post up on a Facebook business page, the pages that get pretty much no attention at all anymore, and get hundreds of likes. You would get, you know, lots of new subscribers. I could sit there in Google Analytics and watch the traffic to the site increase, literally watch sales come in for my e-commerce store back in those good old days before Facebook was a business and before it pretty much stopped being social, because I think that's half the problem. Social media doesn't feel social anymore. And it just feels like this content grind machine. And if you're not grinding it out, then you are kind of being ejected from the machine. So my fellow social media haters, let me know. Let me know if that is you. If you are someone who was like, ugh, like if I just didn't have to do social media, my life would be better, because I 100% empathize with you. But I want to share some things with you that might help you maybe reframe it, give some ideas for how you can potentially make it fun. But most importantly, the other things that you can do apart from social media, if you're like, no matter what you say, it is not going to be fun. To help you have ways to generate sales and to grow your business outside of social media. So firstly, I think one of the things that challenges us as digital creators and people who are selling in the online space is that feeling that you have to be everywhere. It was really perpetuated, pre-COVID and probably even a little bit during COVID when people had more time to sort of be on all the platforms. But when you feel like you have to be everywhere, you've got to be on Instagram and, you know, now you've got to be on Threads and YouTube and Pinterest and TikTok and Facebook and in Facebook groups and LinkedIn and all the places, it is incredibly overwhelming. And it's also like a key to burnout. If you're trying to spread yourself across all of those places, A, you're probably not going to really have a good understanding of all the platforms. You're just pretty much doing that sort of spray and pray approach. And secondly, you're going to get burnt out. It is hard to create that much content. If you have a way of being able to easily, put content on other platforms, absolutely. I was watching a fantastic YouTube yesterday. It was talking a little bit about this subject and it was saying, get one platform that you master. That's like your home, like the thing that you, the place you love being the most, the place that you feel is going to get you the most return. Then if you want to post on the other platforms, do it in a maintenance mode. Just repost, you can pull clips out and put them in multiple places, that kind of thing. But temper your expectations accordingly, because if you really want to make a social media platform work for you, then understanding it and trying to, know the best format, the type of things that that audience will respond to, because it will be different across platforms. However, in the beginning, we don't have social media teams to be managing all this stuff for us. So you can absolutely cross-post, but just do it with, the understanding that it's not some magic thing that if you cross-post it, you're going to be putting yourself in front of thousands of people. Because if you're just kind of putting content on a platform and then not being there to respond to people's comments and questions and sort of be part of the social aspect of it, it may be a little bit challenging to get a great impact from it. For me, Instagram has been like that because I don't really care about Instagram in my personal life. I'm not an Instagram user for myself. So it's hard to understand the Instagram culture. It's hard to even be like, to want to make stories for my business because I don't do it for me as a person. Yet other channels like Threads, I personally love it because that is how I like communicating, like little, short snippets and text-based and having little chats back and forward. That feels more natural for me. That's something that I would do in a more fun perspective. So that can be part of the challenge as well, because finding the platforms that have that perfect combination of they're going to work for your business, that it's something that you actually like doing, because when you are trying to do something and you actually don't like doing it, it feels very, very hard. You're going to have blocks all over the place. You're going to resist it. And so getting something that you enjoy and is somewhere that, your audience is going to be is fantastic. For the rest of them, sure, you can repost content and put it there. You might get a little bit of traction from it. I find that with LinkedIn. I'm not someone who understands LinkedIn culture. I don't spend a lot of time there. However, through cross-posting and putting, occasional content on LinkedIn, just because of the nature of the platform, I mean, it almost makes me want to understand it and do it better, because it is really a great way for your content to be found. And if you do comment on people's posts, then it's going to be put in front of other people's audiences. I find that it's quite good for discoverability. I've had a lot of clients that have come to me because they found me on LinkedIn. I'm like, okay, damn, like I don't really do anything there, but woohoo. Like, so, for me, that's a ticker box to cross post, but I'll still get a little bit of return from it, but I'd probably still do it anyway, just because, it's another platform to put content out on, but I'm not creating LinkedIn specific content. I'm not sort of understanding the platform and going deep into it to really be like, all right, what's working on LinkedIn right now? And do you know what? That's one of the challenges as well, because these are algorithm driven platforms and people change their algorithms, not people, the companies change their algorithms, and they are changing the algorithms for what suits them and not what suits you. The social media platforms that are free for us to use are only free because they're being paid for by advertisers. And at the end of the day, the platforms are going to do what's going to make them the most money. We are just some byproduct. And that's where it is really, really challenging, putting all your eggs in these social platforms, because you can, start producing content, do really well with it, and then there'll be some algorithm change or some trend change, and what was working before won't work now. And that's where it can be tricky to keep on top of it and actually be effective on the platforms, unless you are really kind of focusing on that one kind of core platform and understanding it and, being the person who's also on top of trends or following people who are on top of trends. But to do that across all the platforms, I mean, that could be your full-time job. job. And, you know, it should just be a little part of what you're doing, not kind of taking over everything. But yes, you don't need to be everywhere. You could, you know, sprinkle yourself some places if you want. But if you didn't even want to do that, if you're like, no, that's even just too hard, just pick one platform. Don't get sort of entrenched into that hustle culture. And also, you know, with that platform, depending on what it is, depends on how frequently you have to post. So that may be something you might be like, I could put one thoughtful post a week on LinkedIn, and that's going to get me a lot more than putting, you know, spending time creating stories and reels and all that kind of stuff for Instagram. However, if you are someone who it can just whip out a story in 5 minutes, then putting lots of stories on may be easy and make sense for you. For me, I'd be like, oh, I don't even know what to put in it. It would just become a big ordeal, and there would just be too many barriers and sort of friction with it to make it worth my time. Also, you know, with stories and things like that, I think it can be more effective when you have a bigger audience. And again, that's one of the challenges with creating content when you don't yet have a big audience. The way that YouTube has been able to work so well for me is that even though I was creating content when I had just a, you know, a few hundred subscribers, all those videos are getting views now. My most viewed video in the last 28 days is one that I created in 2022. So that long form content is what's going to keep working for you. And that's why I'm a big proponent of it. Now, with long-form content, I wouldn't even say long-form content. It's not even necessarily long-form, because short-form is now available in Google search. There's a lot of people who use TikTok as their, you know, search engine almost. It's very audience-dependent, so that's part of it as well. But it's more search-based content, you know, using SEO to your advantage. And even though AI has taken over the world, it still does not negate the incredible benefit of search-based content. I am 100% sure that the reason why my YouTube channel, even though it is very, very ordinary and I don't have a ton of subscribers, does so well for me and for my business is because I'm not trying to be a YouTuber. I'm creating content that lasts. Most of the content on my channel is designed to be something that will help someone today and in, you know, years to come. It's evergreen search-based content. I'm very thoughtful with creating titles that are going to be found, descriptions that are key, you know, have the right keywords in there, you know, tags and all the things that will help your content be found in search. Because not only does the videos come up in YouTube search, because Google owns YouTube, the videos come up in Google search. And that is the power. Often, even if I have the same video where I also create a blog post version, the video will often come up first. Google prioritizes YouTube, so often YouTube videos will come up very high in the search results. And that is 100% to your favor. And that is something that you can use for that discoverability aspect of social media that you may not get elsewhere. You want to be getting yourself in front of new audiences and new people. And search is a fantastic way to do it. If you're able to create some of your content that is around the questions that people are asking, that can introduce them to you. Then if you have additional videos, then they can go on and watch them. Same with blog posts. People still do read blogs. Videos are awesome, but a lot of people will read written content, and blogs are still an absolutely fantastic resource. So it doesn't need to always be about video. If you can do video, great. It makes it helpful for repurposing, but blogs are also fantastic to be able to repurpose. You can turn them into carousel posts. You can pull some of the key points out. You can pull little snippets out for putting onto your socials just as a text-based post and point people back to that blog post. I think blogs in a way are kind of slightly more helpful for digital creators, because you can put pop-ups and you know, things right on the page for people to be able to sign up to your resources or buy low ticket, helpful, relevant products to the blog post. If you're on another platform like Pinterest or YouTube, generally someone's going to have to leave the platform to come to your site. But when they're already on your site, it's even easier. And that is one of the things as well. You do need to make sure that short form content is selling you and selling your business. Sure, not every time, but being able to include very helpful and easily accessible links to free resources and making sure that you have clear calls to action, you tell people what to do next, that is going to be the key between just creating content for the sake of creating content and creating content that is going to grow your audience on your own platform. Even if you are producing something on YouTube or Pinterest or, you know, one of these other search-based platforms, then you still need to get people back into your land. You want to be growing in your own world. And that is where there is a big push. You probably have heard it a bazillion times about, you know, grow on your land, not on the social media arenas, because you have control. There is no algorithm change in email. Sure, there's been little changes to spam laws and things like that with your email, but you own your email list. You are not at risk of your YouTube channel being shut down, your Instagram account being hacked or, you know, closed or whatever reason, that when you're on someone else's platform, they have all the control. So if you can, you know, help use these, you know, social or, you know, this long form type of thing to bring people into your world, once they're in your world, then that is a lot easier to be able to nurture them and to be able to keep in contact with people that have come across you. Because social media, even YouTube, all those things can be really fleeting, especially if someone is just getting introduced to you. They might only watch one video, and if there's been no way for you to continue to contact them, that could be the end of it. Maybe they'll watch one or two, then they'll watch the more people's. If you are contacting, you know, if they're really into you, they're probably going to watch everything and listen to everything if you have a podcast. But if you're new, you know, it could just be some random, you know, scroll through kind of look at something. And when you have a clear path to get them back into your own land, then that's going to be really advantageous. Borrowing other people's audiences is something else that you can do with not being on your own socials. There are some people who love social media. You know, just because you're a social media hater doesn't mean that there aren't people who love it and have big audiences and want guests for their YouTube shows, for their podcasts. Maybe even they want guests to create guest posts for them to come in and be an expert in their communities. And they've done the work of building the audience. And sometimes, you know, when you do collaborations, you can get in front of those audiences. You know, there's bundles, summits, those strategies where you're part of a bigger program and everyone sort of works together to put your offers in front of other people. That can absolutely be a strategy to work well. But basically, you know, in the beginning when you're starting out, or when you're like, no more social media for me, you've still got to do stuff to build your audience. You've still got to bring people into your world. So I will say that if you hate social media to the point that you don't want to use it at all, it doesn't mean that you can stop marketing your business. You just need to market it in a different way. So getting in front of other people's audiences, most likely, you know, if someone is running a bundle or a summit and they have a large audience, they're going to promote that and you're going to be part of that. You're going to have a chance to get in front of other people without you necessarily having to do all the socialing and be super social. I will say, even if you are going down that path where you're like, all right, I'm off social media, like I don't want to do it at all, if you have been around for a while and you have an established social media profile, this will apply less to you. But if you are newer and you're like, I just don't want to do socials, that is not part of my strategy, I still think it's a good idea to build a basic social media profile for credibility and to show, you know, what you do, who you are, etc. Even if you had an Instagram profile that had like a 9-grid with some posts about you, it's going to feel so much stronger if it's LinkedIn, Facebook, it doesn't matter. Like being somewhere on social, even if you are not active on social, it gives that credibility. Because say you want to be a part of a bundle or on someone's podcast, probably the first thing they do is they're going to go and look you up. They're going to look you up on social media and see, do you have a profile at all? Personally, I think it's a really good idea to, even if you are not posting on social media and you have no intention to at least claim the names for the social media accounts for your business or your personal name, if you haven't already got that, so that no one else can, because you don't want someone else using that name. That would be very uncool if someone looks you up and then a different business comes up. But even if you're not actively posting, just paying a little bit of attention to just getting, you know, like that basic profile created, so that there is a reference, so that someone can come onto your, you know, Instagram profile, LinkedIn, whatever it is, and they're like, okay, cool, yeah, this is a person, you know, this looks credible. I can see that they, you know, have got some content created. Obviously optional, but I think it can help, especially if you're wanting to go down those paths of using other people's audience. Because if you're a ghost, And people look you up, and there is, you know, you don't have a blog, you don't have a YouTube channel, there's no Pinterest, there's no Instagram, there's no LinkedIn, then it might feel a little bit, someone might not have as much confidence in knowing who you are, feeling like you are putting yourself out there at all. So it could just be written content. It doesn't need to be photos or video if that's something, you know, if that's a reason why you're staying off social media, but definitely have a body of work that shows what you do. It shows, you know, you're an expert with what, you know, the field that you are in, so that you will have that credibility. And it could be potentially for customers as well. Think about yourself when you last purchased something from an online creator. Maybe you just purchase it, especially if the price was the right point. But if it was a higher ticket program, you probably want to have some kind of connection with that person. You want to listen to some podcast episodes, watch YouTube videos, shorts if they, you know, TikTok, if they're on TikTok, you know, go to the Facebook profile or page if the if their profile is public. See what that person is saying so that you know that you're aligned and that you can trust them. So even if you're like, I'm not going to post at all, just try and have something there as that, you know, credibility. I will say social media, and like I mentioned at the beginning, I think some of the reason that so much of us hate social media, definitely for me, is that it just doesn't feel social anymore. And when you see things that people are doing, you know, you might see trends on social media, sometimes it can just make you cringe. Like when the, you know, let's do the dances trend. I mean, yay for everyone that, you know, is into that and can do that. But for me, that was just like, there is no chance that I'm going to be doing that. And, you know, the cringy pointing at stuff and, you know, doing the whole like pointing at stuff come up on the screen. Sure, maybe it worked for people, but maybe for you, you're just like, I just don't want to do things just because they are trendy. Right now on Instagram, there is this trend and it annoys the absolute crap out of me as an Instagram viewer and consumer, where there is some sort of message and it's like a B-roll thing and there's a bit of text on the screen, but then you've got to open up the caption to read it. It's really hard to read with stuff moving in the background. And what they're doing, the reason that that's, you know, so popular is because it feeds the algorithm. And it feeds the algorithm because it keeps, you know, scrolling around and around. So it's sending messages to Instagram saying, hey, this is popular, because every time someone watches it, they're watching it five times. But they're not watching it. They're going and reading in the caption. And that just, you know, frustrates me because I don't enjoy that experience as a viewer. So I don't want my people to, you know, that are following me to have that experience. And sure, you can jump on it and see if it works. But, you know, are you doing things just for the sake of creating content and doing things to feed algorithms? Or, you know, maybe you, that's why you hate it. Like, that's annoying for me. So I'm trying to make my social media just feel a bit more fun again. Just doing things that I actually enjoy, like posting up fun things that I would share like I share with friends. And who knows, I am not a social media expert, as someone who, you know, has disappeared from social for periods of time. But that's something that I'm leaning into a bit more. Like these live streams, you know, I'm not doing them for a particular purpose. I'm doing them to get my own confidence up. And, you know, there's a benefit, lots of benefits that come out of it, as I was talking about yesterday. But in just general posts, like, what if we just took things back to being more social? Like the, you know, social media is trying to make it as unsociable as possible. You go through your feed and every third post is some crappy content or, you know, an ad. And we very rarely see stuff from friends anymore. And I feel like it's all just content sort of being shoved down our throats. So, you know, that's a possibility as well. If you're like, well, I'd like social media if it was actually social, and I could just, you know, have chats with friends and, you know, just share my thoughts about stuff without feeling like I have to perform. Like, we get to make the rules in this. Whilst, yes, you know, feeding the algorithm is probably what's going to help you be successful and pop off or all those kinds of things, if you're focusing the majority of your attention on long form search based content, which I 100% get behind, then maybe just use the socials just for some fun. Like, you know, if you hate creating graphics, don't create graphics, just put some less polished stuff up there. You know, if you don't enjoy Instagram, don't use it. Like, if you, the thought of TikTok is just like, no, I can't personally have TikTok on my phone. I am have way too much of an addictive personality. I had to delete it because I would just scroll for ages. So, you know, that is a trick as well. I don't think I have that in my notes, but if you hate social media, get them off your phone, get the apps off your phone. I only use social media on my computer because I just get sucked into it. Like with Threads, I enjoy the context and the idea of Threads and I enjoy posting on Threads, but it is like, you know, it is made for addiction. Like you want to see, has someone replied? Like, did I get any likes on that? It's kind of like that validation thing. And then you'll see someone else and then you'll end up in a conversation. And, you know, that is the point of social. But if you find that it's kind of taking over, and that's what I would find with me, I checked my phone time and I was like, oh, I spent 2 hours on there. And what did I, like, do I feel good about that? Maybe a little bit, but not really. If that's your experience, you know, just delete them. I now, you know, just go on Threads a couple of times a week just to be like, oh, is there anything fun happening? Maybe I'll put a post up. And when I took that pressure off myself from having to be social and I was just like, just use it like you would use it in a more fun sense, then it became a lot easier and I was more engaged and, you know, likely to actually post something where it's more like, oh, cool, did you see this? Rather than having to script it out and be more like, what piece of content is this? Where does it fit into my content plan and calendar? No dissing if that is where you're at. If that is where you're at, you're probably not a social media hater, so it's probably not going to apply to you anyway. Also, I think it's important to pick the type of content that you enjoy. Sure, maybe you can stretch yourself out of your comfort zone sometimes. You know, a month ago, I would have been like, I'm never doing a video because I friggin' hate video. Like I have video anxiety, so I'm just not doing video. However, this is my 28th day of live streaming. I'm not feeling quite so video hatey anymore. In fact, I'm like, you know what? This is cool. I'm glad that I've done this. It stretched me. It has allowed me to make content out of the clips and I'll probably put that, you know, onto channels like Instagram where I can post that because, you know, that feels like an easy lift at the moment. Maybe I'll get some traction from it. Maybe I won't. Who knows? Maybe it'll just have a place where people can go and see some little short clips of, you know, me sharing stuff that I feel strongly about. But you can choose the thing that you like best. Just because people are saying you've got to use video doesn't mean you have to use video. If you are someone who loves going into Canva and creating graphics, if you love sharing photos and writing captions for the photos, do that. If you are like, I hate photos, I don't want to use them, I just want to write, do that. If you are an audio person, if you are like writing, typing, but if I could just talk out my thoughts, do that. It's okay. You get to produce in the way that suits you and in the way that's going to make you more inclined to do it as well, because there's nothing worse than grinding up against something that doesn't feel good. And for me, up until, you know, a month ago, creating video felt like the biggest grind. It felt heavy and hard and I would always procrastinate and put it off. So sometimes it can be a case of, why don't I try it for a period of time? Then maybe I'll like it. But if you try it and you still don't like it, then don't do that thing. Like, it's okay. We are the boss of our own businesses. We get to make the rules. This is our stuff. No, you know, regardless of what social media algorithms are doing, this is still at the end of the day, our own business. We created a business. You know, I'm saying we as in I'm sure this would ring true because you wanted freedom and you didn't want a boss and you didn't want someone telling you what to do and you wanted to be able to be successful on your own and you didn't want to feel, you know, like everything was a grind. So don't make it a grind. You can choose to do the things that light you up and that you enjoy. Another thing that I do to make social media feel less gross or invasive, no, not gross, less invasive because I have no self-control. I use an app called Freedom that I have on my computer and on my phone and I block, what do I have on my phone at the moment? I think I put Instagram back for a personal account. Even still, that is blocked. I have Reddit blocked. That is my guilty, that is my very bad guilty pleasure. The am I the asshole threads that I go to read for a bit of a wind down, then soon turn into like, I'll see something political and I'll, you know, get sucked into that. And before I know it, I've spent an hour just doom scrolling on Reddit. Or if I do ever, you know, look up YouTube, which I've deleted the app. So then stupidly, I'll use it on the browser. I put an end to that and I actually block all of those things during my workday. All the messaging apps, like all the things that can distract me, I just have a blocker, and Freedom lets you do it on your phone. You can do it on your computer. You can choose how long you want to block it for. You can set it so it's like a repeat block every day. And seriously, that has been a savior from my own lack of self-control. I wish I could be more self-controlling on these things. But remember, the social media apps are designed to keep you on there. That is their entire purpose. So it's no wonder that you can find yourself, you know, going for a quick 5 minutes and then being on there forever. So maybe something like that will make it feel less heavy, where you're like, I don't mind being on social media if I'm only on it, you know, for like an hour or two. That's cool. Or having, you know, set schedules. I tried the set schedule thing, but I would be like, all right, I'm going to do 15 minutes max and then I'm off. No self-control. It would never work. I would always be like, oh, just another 15 minutes. And I would like snooze the alarm. So, you know, you do whatever's going to work best for you. But, you know, total block might be the thing that you need if your willpower is not good enough. Now, with social media and thinking about it for its purpose, if you do want to do it a little bit, think about social media has two purposes in your business in terms of the creator growth loop that I've talked about, which is like the three most important values in your business and the things to keep working on in evenness so that you can continue to grow for now and forever. That is being seen, creating value, and making offers. So being seen is growing your audience, you know, nurturing your audience, helping your audience to trust you, and social can 100% fall into that category. You can also direct people from social into your world, onto your land, into an email list that you have. Maybe if you have a community, like that can be a fantastic way to get people off social and into your world. And Kajabi communities means that you can have a free or paid community, just like you would have had a Facebook group in the past. That can be fantastic. If you're in the US, you can also do things like SMS. So you could create like SMS lists and communicate. Definitely don't overdo it if you're doing that. Like you don't want to be texting people every day. But that can be another way where you own that. You are, you know, in control of that. And that is that being seen. And often you can get stuck in being seen and all the work revolves around that. But you're not also away from social media creating value, creating things to sell, delivering on things that you have made, that core pillar of the things that you need. A digital product business needs to sell things. So working on those things. And then most importantly, the making offers part. So when you feel like I've got to get everyone off social onto my email list, sometimes, not always, but for some people, I find that all the focusing goes on the email list. All the selling is done on the email list and the socials are neglected in the selling. But you can actually use socials. That's one of the times because, you know, one of the problems with social media is it's very immediate and what you are posting on social doesn't live for very long. So the times when you're making offers, especially if you're launching or something is in, you know, an immediate time, that's a perfect time to be going on social media and, you know, putting your effort into doing it. So maybe you don't go on socials all the time, and then you put some extra attention in during the launch periods. Is that going to be as effective as if you're on social media all the time? Absolutely not, but it doesn't mean that it isn't going to add some value and connect with some people who maybe aren't on your email list. So, don't be afraid to, if you don't want to do social all the time, to engage it just during periods of time when you are launching, because you can absolutely sell offers through social media, even if you don't have a huge audience and even if you don't want to use it all the time. So ideally, you will be engaging with people and creating regular content and, you know, feeding the algorithm gods, but it doesn't mean that you can't use it to its advantage when you want to be selling something. And make sure that you are connecting social media to your offers as well, that you've got a link in bio that goes to somewhere that people can buy from you, whether it's going to your Kajabi shop page, if you have a shop page set up, whether it's going to a lead magnet, whether it's going to a newsletter sign up, something to get people off and into your world. Just don't neglect having that. And, you know, mostly I would say give yourself permission to experiment. Like I was dissing on the trends before, but, you know, sometimes maybe it will be like, I'll give it a go. I tried playing around with carousels. I don't particularly enjoy creating carousels. I found that really tedious, but hey, I tried it. I experimented it. I gave it a go. I've played with live streaming. Love it. We'll probably keep doing it. I've played with chopping stuff up. Like there is 100 things that you could try. And until you actually try them, you won't know A, what works, and B, what you'll enjoy producing. And you may just stumble onto something where you're like, man, that actually doesn't feel hard. I actually don't mind social if that's all I did. And it's 100% okay to stay in that lane. You do not need to jump on every trend, but also don't feel like you need to just do one thing because some, you know, guru on the internet told you you can only grow if you do this or you have to do that. Like anytime that someone says that, like, you know, stop using, I don't know, TikTok because reason, like Instagram isn't going to work. You've got to be here instead. Like, and you might see someone jump ship and go, all right, I'm putting all my energy into LinkedIn. Or, you know, you might hear me saying, I love YouTube and I'm, you know, really going to be focusing on YouTube as my main platform. But that's for me because that suits my business. You got to find what suits you. And just because it suits someone else doesn't mean that it's going to suit you. And that's why I say experiment. Like, have fun with it. Like, try some random fun things sometimes. Maybe just try something for a few weeks or for a month. And maybe it can be the thing where you're like, all right, I'm going to try this out, but I'm actually going to put a bit of energy into learning the thing. And maybe that is video. Maybe you're like, I'm going to do video. And as I'm doing the video, I'm going to, you know, pay more attention to learning how to light my videos better, learning how to talk to the camera better, like learning, you know, positioning hooks, like to, you know, to start with a strong hook, scripting. Like there's 100 things that you can learn for every type of content. Like, you know, and until you try it out, you won't know. If you're going to try some of these, you know, real concepts and TikTok concepts and some of these other things, vlogging, like whatever it is, there's a million things that you can experiment and play around with. Sometimes you might start it and be like, nope. But sometimes it might just be that you need to push yourself out of your comfort zone and learn a bit. But don't learn first and then do. Learn and do, because it's the implementation and the doing that helps you put it into action. That's what is going to help you really figure out if it's something that you like or you don't like. Because potentially, if you're a social media hater, you got mind gremlins just, you know, rejecting every idea and going, nope, can't do that. Nope, it's too scary, too hard, all the reasons. So I definitely recommend just to push yourself a little bit sometimes. Most importantly, you want to get people onto your email list. Like your email list, I think, is, you know, ground zero. It is like core, like strongest, best principle. And whilst it can work with other things, your email list is your best asset. It's the thing that as you grow your email list, it is going to help your business grow, not just now, but into the future. It gives you a direct connection to people who have asked for something that you've given them. If you have a newsletter, they've asked to get emails from you. And it's such a strong way to continue to connect with people and get directly into their inboxes. I've heard all the like, oh, email's dead. It is not. Think of your own behavior today. How many times have you checked your inbox already today? What is the first thing you do when you wake up in the morning? Like, there are so many people. I mean, maybe if you are one of those people who doesn't pick your phone up and check your email, I salute you. But even if you have your phone in another room, at some point you're like, all right, I'm going to check my email. Like, it's very unlikely you would go a day without checking it. And you know, this is a way that we can communicate with people. You can have conversations and email. It's so powerful. And regardless of what you're doing on social, get people into that the email box. But yes, I think let's make social, more fun, like take the stress out of it. You know, avoid things that are cringe, avoid things that feel hard for you, and do what feels easy. And if all that fails, just say nope. No social at all, and focus on those long-term search-orientated pieces of content that are going to keep working. The thing is with those, it's less sexy than social. Social gets you an immediate impact. Social, you can post something and you'll see the impact of it straight away. That longer content, that takes time. That is not something that you're going to be able to post and then all of a sudden, you know, in the next week, you're going to have all this reaction from it. It is a slow build-up, and I think that's, you know, a reason why people can avoid it and go to social, because you do get that shorter, like it's almost like a dopamine hit from it, because you'll see an impact pretty much straight away. But it is a spike. It spikes up and then, you know, like the majority of the spike is gone in a few days, whereas the long form content can be that slow burn over time, over a long time, and it's going to keep working for you. So, you know, that's just something to consider. If you are not doing any long form content, oh my gosh, please please do. Search orientated content is like the most sustainable thing that you can do for your business. And it is what would allow you to take 4 months off your social media and not, watch your business die, because it's going to keep working even when you're not working. And that is the power of that type of content. Tell me if you are a social media hater or not. I would love to know. We can maybe make a little club on a social channel. That's pretty funny. But anyway, tomorrow I'm going to be back talking about what to do if you don't have an audience and you still want to sell. It is possible. I'm going to give you some strategies and thoughts around that. So I will see you back on another episode of This Is What I Do If. I'm Sue McLaughlin from the Unicorn Advisory. I'll talk to you soon. Bye.